harassment works.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Talking shop on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, talking about Chris's exploration in Colorado and New Mexico, strange events. We're talking about the calendars that might predict or forecast some kind of world-changing event. We've been talking about that for a long time, though. You know, for lots of years, every few years, well, the world's going to end next year, and somehow we seem to muddy through. But I have this other crazy theory. Whenever this happens, we are all universally transformed into another reality, and we go on.
Right. What was that theory that somebody said, well, the world actually ended in 1976 or something, and everything changed. We just don't have recollection of it or something. Boy, if it did,
Isn't that interesting? Think about that theory for a moment, ladies and gentlemen, that maybe we've gone through several realities already. We've left a few by the wayside, you know, sitting there on the cutting room floor. Imagine leaving a reality on the cutting room floor. It sounds like a motion picture. Or maybe this is the Matrix existence. You ever think that all we are husks or brains in these laboratories, in this container or glass filled with fluid, hooked into large computer systems, and we're imagining everything? We're all our worst nightmares?
Well, I can't really comment on that too much, but boy, I can comment on the year 1976, which is my second year of college. I was 19, and boy, was I having fun. So if the world changed and everything, if the world ended and everything changed, it was probably during one of my psychedelic experiences when that happened, and I was none the wiser.
Yeah, well, maybe that's when you had the transition. We all had the transition when you were going to college. The world turned.
Well, that's what I was doing in 76. I can't vouch for everybody else, but in fact, I can't even vouch for myself half the time that year. I had too much fun. Too many girlfriends, too much partying, and too much fun.
My crazy years were in my late 20s. I don't want to get into that again. It's just too complicated. You were telling me that you're starting to lean more towards the ETH theory about UFOs again. What precipitated this?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm starting to lean that way. I said I'm being pulled a little bit towards the center being totally agnostic and neutral, neither pro-ETH or anti or pro-interdimensional or meta or ultra-terrestrial or anti. Basically, the work of Ray Stanford, I think, does lend some credence to an ETH, potential ETH hypothesis based on his observation that why would something dimensional need giant grandmother ships to carry motherships to shoot off little scout ships unless they were trying to conserve energy traveling long distances? That rationale, that argument does have a ring to it. So, you know, I have never factored the ETH out. I just feel that we should exhaust all closed system potential answers before we jump off planet. That's always been my kind of my mantra about all this. But one of the things that I do recognize is some good diagnostic scientific work that Ray Stanford has been doing for many years, and it does I think have relevance, and his insight and observational acuity I think does support the potential for an ETH presence. I'm not convinced of it yet, but more than any other person, I think he has made the strongest argument supporting that particular scenario.
But none of that excludes the other explanations.
No, of course not. The other possibilities are probably more prevalent in this regard than a standard ETH scenario.
Now, looking back over what, a year, year and a half ago, we had the book by the late Mac Tonies published after his death called The Crypto-Terrestrials. And basically, it brought back theories that we've dealt with for a number of years about UFOs having an earthly or other dimensional origin. Looking at that today, did it make any impact at all?
I don't think so. I think it may have opened people's minds up to, you know, at least be aware of other possibilities. I think he hashed some ground that's already been, sort of worked before. John Keel, Trevor James Constable. There's a number of people that have made proposals suggesting alternative theories. Of course, Jacques Vallée and the whole idea of the metaterrestrial. I think what he did was it was more of an exercise for him. I don't think he really fully bought into to his theory. And throughout the book, he does mention that there's tons of holes in the theory. But it's an example of the type of creative thinking that I've been trying to champion during my year here on the Paracast. And I think if it did anything, it really inspired people to start thinking outside of the box a little bit more and entertaining an open mind and new possibilities. I think if something could be said for that particular book, that is what kind of comes through in my mind.
I would have hoped it would have had the impact, a much larger impact than it did. It was published by a small publisher, Anomalous Books. Good people. They publish really interesting volumes.
Yeah,
but the discussion didn't really persevere much after we did the show.
Yeah. Well, I did have the opportunity to spend an afternoon with Mac. I did, correspond with him some. I found him to be a real bright light in the younger generation that's coming up in this whole morass of a field. And he was a very insightful guy, very creative, excellent writer. And I'm saddened still today that, we don't have him here, shouldering along with us. I do feel that there are other younger folks that are coming up in the field. Micah Hanks, for instance. There are a few John Greenwald and his work, of course, at the Black Vault. I have a couple of, very interesting younger people that are interested in the San Luis Valley work and live in the Valley area that I think have real potential. So, I don't know how many times I've said this on the program, but you go to your old school average UFO conference, and the average age is somewhere around 70. So I think the MacTonys of the world are out there. I think there's other young people that want to get involved. I think that they need some motivation. They need some guidance, some mentoring. And, I encourage any of our younger listeners out there who are interested in this field and want to get involved, roll their sleeves up and really dive in, that there are people out there that can help. Rosemary Guiley is an incredibly professional, experienced, and gifted field investigator. I was just dazzled by her bedside manner, how she dealt with people going through very traumatic, in some cases, experiences. She just has a very easy manner about her. And I'm sure she works great with these groups that she's involved with out in the field doing haunted site investigations, for instance. So there are some open-minded investigators out there who are not in this just solely for their egos and self-aggrandizement, who are willing to share their experience, share their talents and their insights with motivated younger people. And this is really important. And I think having Joshua Warren rather on in his Poor Man's Guide to the Paranormal, I forget the actual title of the book, but this is the kind of resource that an up-and-coming investigator really could use. And I do applaud anyone out there who's been in this field for as long as myself and others to take some of these younger folks under their wings and really help educate them, train them, and get them in a place where they can take the ball and continue, advancing it down the field, as it were.
I kind of hope in the UFO field they don't just recover the old ground. We went through the transition, ET, the paranormal, crypto-terrestrials, ultra-terrestrials, all that stuff, and then new people get into the field, and what do? They start from scratch. They go back and cover the ground we covered in the 50s, and that sometimes is very unfortunate. Now, when we get into the next segment, I think it's a good time we start focusing on questions from our listeners. I think Chris has answered some of them already, but there are loads of questions, possibly to fill a lot of the remainder of the episode. We'll see. This is the Shop Talk session of the Paracast. We should do more of them. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Have you been sitting on a few great domain name ideas but haven't locked them in for yourself? Good. Now you can buy them through the number one domain name registrar, Namecheap.com, as voted by the top tech blog Lifehacker. Just like the name says, you can buy domains cheap, as low as $2.99, and every new domain comes with WhoisGuard, our special privacy service, free for the first year. Now that you know, it's time to grab those domain names before someone else does. Namecheap.com. Go now. Namecheap.com.
Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Dr. David Berry has provided excellent advice for all those interested in practical economics and sound money. It's certainly worth reading.
That's what Congressman Ron Paul said about Cha-Ching Wisdom, 123 Practical Universal Truths About Money, the new book by Dr. David Berry.
The cool part of this book, certainly it'll speak to you personally, your life, your lifestyle, your money, your investments, but it also can be generalized into the nation, what's going on as a nation. We do these same things personally that we do as a nation.
Dr. Berry's book, Cha-Ching Wisdom, presents many facets of your relationship with the once almighty dollar and how current national and international politics affect your daily life.
Some of the other things are about that. They're not just economic. They're philosophical. There's psychology involved in this book. There's philosophy involved in this book.
Read Cha-Ching Wisdom by Dr. David Berry, only $9.95. Available at cha-chingwisdom.com. That's C-H-A-C-H-I-N-G-Wisdom.com. Cha-chingwisdom.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you want to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out on iTunes.
We return talking about everything and anything under the sun. But as you see, Chris is such a great guest, in addition to being a great co-host, that I can just sit here, ask him questions, and relax and hang out, and he's got stories and experiences to express. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in the Paracast. And when we announce a special Shop Talking episode. I posted a message about it in our forums at forum.paracast.com. That's forum.paracast.com. Ask our listeners to ask anything without restriction, which can get us in trouble. So, Chris, I'm going to ask some questions which I will answer, and then you can answer. And maybe if you want, you can ask a few questions. But you usually do that, so I'll take the role. Okay, from Angelo, who's one of our moderators in the forums, and he tends to take a skeptical point of view here. So here's what he asks. He asks five questions. Okay, who has been your favorite guest or guests since Chris became co-host? And you know what, Chris? I'll ask that question of you.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. Boy, we've had so many good ones. Of course, it was just an honor and a pleasure to have a chance to speak with Dr. Jacques Vallée. Of course, Jerry Clark. The Mosley episode, I think, was fascinating. We've had so many, Gene. That's one thing about the Paracast is we do tend to bring out the the more of the A-list sort of thinkers, and I think we have one of the best archives out there for a show of this type. So, you know, they've all been good. I enjoyed the I enjoyed the Ray episode. Of course, that was before I was on board, but it was one of my first co-hosting jobs. I kind of got a chuckle out of that one.
Now, here's a couple of interesting episodes that occurred I think you might appreciate and mention. And, of course, there was the one we have with Leslie Kane. This was just about the week in 2010 when she came out with that UFO book.
Yeah,
I thought it was very fascinating. We had a lot of fun. James Carrion was interesting because I said after he was basically almost accusing MUFON, not just accusing but stating outright they were dishonest, I said, okay, are you a disinformation agent? And James Carrion promptly after that show put me on his blacklist, his email blacklist, which means whenever I write to him, it's bounced. So that was a disappointment. Former Governor Jesse Ventura was fascinating because he seems like the kind of temperamental guy. If you ask him the wrong question the wrong way, he'll disappear. But he loved his time with the Paracast and the 30-second close where he just couldn't say anything better about us. It was just extolling our virtues. It's almost a commercial, a 30-second commercial for the Paracast to listen to that final portion of the episode with Governor Ventura.
That was good. Yeah, Jesse was good. We've just had so many guests. Gosh, I'm up to, about almost 60 shows now, I think.
You get a gold watch. I said that before.
The episode with, who was our Dulce guy? What the heck was his name? The guy I met at Angel Fire and talked about the Colonel X. And I found it amusing because it's interesting to see the enthusiasm of somebody fairly new to the field getting involved and possibly getting in a little bit over their heads.
Way over his head. I mean, he came out with a book, and the guy we're talking about is Anthony Sanchez.
There we go.
And it's the episode of October 10th, 2010. So if you haven't heard it, you may want to download this episode because this is where we pointed out that his research wasn't very inclusive, that he kind of accepted things because they were in print, which was also very unfortunate. But the worst is, within 2 days after that show is broadcast, he quits the field because of a personal problem, and then a few days later he comes back, he publishes an e-version of his book, but guess what? He still doesn't give us access, so we've never read the book.
Right.
And we won't because he won't give us access.
Right. Oh, well.
Among the disappointments, any other big disappointments, do you think?
Well, yeah.
I mean, other than Richard Sauter, I think he was a disappointment.
Richard Sauter was a disappointment, but, you know, in light of the time frame at 3 a.m, and, you know, some real personal drama and trauma that he's been going through over the past year, I was a little dismayed at the last half of the show, but I still stand by my contention that Richard Sauter is one of our top experts when it comes to government's role in the building and maintaining of secret underground facilities. I think no one has even come close to doing the amount of research and quality of research that he's done. So you can say what you want about the man, but you can't take that away from him. His book, Underground Bases and Tunnels, What is the Government Trying to Hide, is the seminal work on the subject. So it was a little bit of a disappointment, you know.
Not because he had his cell phone too close to his computer.
Or the Ecuadorian mosquitoes, whatever. Yeah, he's kind of an irascible guy. He's very thin-skinned and very touchy, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, it was 3 a.m. And I wish him all the best. Anything I can do to help him and his research, I'd be more than happy to volunteer. And if I can do something, I'd be more than willing to help him. I do still have admiration and respect for his body of work.
All right, this question number 2 from Angelo points to you, I think. Have you been surprised by any of the discussions you've seen in the forum? And the reason I pointed to you is because I'll give the quick answer. No, because I've been doing forum stuff since the 1980s, and nothing anywhere surprises me. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. But what was the one thread about the blonde woman? What was she saying? Something about, I don't know, the aliens are coming or something, and then somebody discovered some footage of her pole dancing or something. That one kind of surprised me a little bit.
Because somebody's pole dancing doesn't mean they don't have
abductions. Well, no, it was the response from some of our forum posters.
Right.
We have some pretty funny people. You know, I'm not surprised at all at how the forum evolves and kind of has a life of its own. I try to stay out of the fray as much as possible, but being a moderator, I do get pulled into certain, possible contentious, adversarial situations. And I'm really trying to temper my own personal, role in the forum as much as possible and try to be as objective and as fair as possible. I think we do have one of the best forums out there, and I applaud everybody that takes the time to read through these threads and to do very good research. I'm constantly just amazed and gratified at the amount of work that some of our posters undergo to come up with some good research to back up their particular points of view or to refute somebody else's point of view. And it is a real lively debate. I think Angelo, one of our moderators, who's actually asking these questions, I think he brought up a very good point recently that we're really not going to change each other's minds. The best we can hope for, skeptics to true believers and everything in between, the best we can hope for is just to validate our own thinking through good, objective fact and data and research and at least present our positions. I don't think anybody thinks we're going to change somebody else's mind. Sometimes it appears that way, but I think good, lively debate and keeping an open mind and being objective are really key ingredients. We do have some posters that it doesn't matter what you say or how you say it, they are going to disagree with you.
And some of those posters you feel like you want to just slap them in the face or in the head as a result. Before we slap anybody or our sponsors slap us, this is the Shop Talk episode of the Paracast. I'm Gene with Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral,
antiviral and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
The U.S. economy is at a tipping point. 40 cents of every dollar the government spends is borrowed. The president of the Federal Reserve in Dallas was recently quoted saying, "This path will lead to insolvency, resulting in the collapse of our government and our economy. Our country can't function like this, and neither can your household. That's why you need to prepare, and priority one is your food supply. Fortunately, it's easy and affordable with the help of Ready Reserve Foods. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storable foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available. With a 25-year shelf life, a full year supply of quality food for two people costs a fraction of what you pay at the grocery store. For a free, full-color catalog, call 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Ready Reserve Foods, making preparedness simple since 1972.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Kurt Sutherland, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Well, we just made it. The sponsors didn't slap us.
Oh, good.
It came close.
Time. Get my gold and my silver and my oxidized water and get all my survival supplies ready so all those Europeans, when hell breaks loose, they'll come over here and knock on my door.
Okay, the title is Gene and Chris Talk Shop, and Angelo has another question, number three. Chris, how is the SLV setup going? You've not discussed it much, so I'm hoping you'll take a few minutes of this episode to discuss it. So we discussed briefly your trip to Colorado and everything.
Well, yeah, we had many birds with one stone on that one. I had about four different hats on. One of the hats that I had on going up there was my SLV camera project hat. We've taken a kind of a right turn here. We're starting to realize that the Sony Vios camera setup is not robust enough, unfortunately, for the really rigorous environmental conditions there in the San Luis Valley, and we did trash one of our cameras. So what we've done is we've reassessed our equipment needs, and we're going to go with another specialized security camera company called Axis, and they have much more robust equipment that's pretty much warranted down to 45, I think, below zero. The other camera system, the Sony, is, I think, only good down to 20 below, and we surpassed that by about 15 degrees last winter. So,
oh, boy. Well, of course, Sony is better at making TV sets, right?
Right. Well, the optics are very good. The Axis optics are not much better. They are a little bit better. It's a high-def camera setup. It's not a standard def, number one. So we've got the added amount of pixels. It is an H.264 codec camera, so that is a real positive. But
that, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, is an industry standard for
right.
digital movie compression, giving you very high quality images. A lot of the stuff you see now is H.264.
Right. So an interesting development that has occurred is a local radio station is very interested in becoming part of the project. They're being required by the government, I think the FCC, to increase the height of their tower because they're transmitting at such a power level, and they're actually radiating the ground. There's significant potential harm that could be done to people standing under the tower, which is only about 75 feet tall. It's on the top of a 12,000-foot mountain. This would be my number one most important, I think, location out of the seven locations that we planned out. And this is on top of a very sizable mountain in the middle of the valley area there. And what they've been asked to do by the government is, and they've been helped with some grant money and other things, is to double the height of their tower to about 150 feet. So to have a state-of-the-art access camera on top of a 150-foot tower on top of a 12,000-foot mountain, that one camera location will give us line of sight from Albuquerque to Leadville. So we're talking about a 340-350-mile field of view, if you will.
Also, if they'd carry the Paracast, we'd love it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
Let's talk to them about that. In fact, if you're going to help them, why don't you say, look, you got to carry the show.
There you go.
Okay, so we'll look forward to further word about that. Question number four, we already talked about Ray Stanford, so we'll leave that. Number five, I guess this goes to everything that happens in the paranormal field from day one. Why is there so much infighting in paranormal circles? Well, I guess whenever you put two people in a room, you can have a controversy, a debate, a conspiracy. There you go.
Well, I think it boils down to ego and wanting to be right and convince other people that they're wrong. A lot of people in this field have invested in particular theories, lines of reasoning, sort of personal preferences in terms of what to believe, what not to believe, what to go after and look for data for to bolster your own view. And I think a lot of the infighting has to do with posturing and people wanting to be right and other people wanting to be wrong. It's unfortunate. I come from the Rodney King, can't we all just get along school? I think that everybody should be working, pulling on the oars in the same direction. Just because we don't agree doesn't mean that we can't agree to disagree and work together. I think that only with a concerted, sense of team effort are we going to ever pull this field forward. I think, all the fractious infighting is one of the major stumbling blocks for gaining mainstream acceptance, which is slowly coming, I think. But if there wasn't so much contentious backbiting and backstabbing in the field, there are people that will, totally milk you dry for your data, accept, all your work and all your efforts. And then as soon as you are viewed as like a threat to their personal career, then they dump you like a discarded Kleenex and then turn around and stab you in the back and try to ruin your name and reputation in the field. I don't have time for that, and I don't think anybody in this field has time for that. And so some of these personalities in the field that I could point to but won't, they need to really, stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and realize that we're all in this together, that no one single person can solve any of these mysteries. It's only through a concerted team effort and a sense of camaraderie and working together that we're ever going to move the ball down the field.
I think a lot of times people try to embroil the Paracast in some of these controversies. I know I see blogs from some people attacking us for one reason or another. And on a rare occasion, I've responded, but just in a very limited way because it's unproductive. Because a lot of the times what they're saying doesn't have any relationship to the truth. It's like the forums. We're talking about the forums and the activities there. And we have situations there where people leave the forums because we wouldn't let them abuse the privilege. What I mean by that is these forums are open in the sense of they're available to the public, available to anybody to join if you adhere to a terms of service. What we mean by terms of service is lay low on the personal attacks. Sometimes the language gets a little bit out of shape, but we understand that. We are, as they say, benevolent dictators. Chris, myself, Ron Collins, Don Ecker, Angelo, of course. The key is if they become excessive, what they do, abusing other members, abusing other people, defamation. We're going to say stop it. We're going to bar them. But that's true with any forum because, remember, it's still a private company that runs it. You know, this is not the government running a public forum. This is a private company, a company that puts on the show, the Paracast. And we have the right to do anything we want in our forums. We've decided to be benevolent dictators in the sense that we let people have their say about anything under the sun. As soon as they get a little bit overboard, we say stop. And that's where you go. And I think we do better than a lot. Some places, you know, it gets to be pretty unbridled. They don't believe in any controls, and I think that's wrong. I think you have to sometimes.
Yeah, and there's other sites that if you don't adhere to the site's particular point of view, then you're the enemy, and boom, you're gone. So
we're accused of that.
We're trying to be
true.
Objective here.
Yeah, we're accused of that.
And we have some real creative flamers, too, that just skirt that line of personal attack. And we have some real creative flamers here. And I get a chuckle sometimes reading some of the comebacks. Yeah, I've kind of thrown a few in there myself from time to time. But I haven't been like a previous host of the show who has felt the necessity to ban himself. I haven't gotten that bad yet, so...
We don't mind getting to that, but it's true. We have someone who used to work with the show who has told us in no uncertain terms he will not allow his name to be mentioned on the show on the threat of physical violence. I won't mention who that is. Isn't that weird? But seriously speaking, that person banned himself from the Paracast. I've never banned myself. I've felt the need sometimes to maybe consider banning other people, but I tend to be, you know, a little bit too gentle about the process because then they come back and say, you banned me, I'll be a good boy or a good girl. And I say, you know what, come on back. You know, I'll be forgiving.
You're a big softy, Gene. Come on, you got it.
Yes. Nobody believes that. You can believe that this is the Gene and Chris Talk Shop Show. Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Spring and a new growing season are here. Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Boy, this is moving. You know, we're almost finishing the second hour of the show. Answering your questions, Gene and Chris talking shop about anything and everything under the sun. It doesn't have to be at the paranormal, and we're still getting through the questions. We've barely covered more than a few questions, and I'm going to get to another one here in the PowerCast. This is from Hot Soup, okay? I don't know if it's chicken soup or matzo ball soup, but we'll have to ask Hot Soup about Hot Soup. I am compelled to bring up my curiosity about the one paranormal story one of you would never share on the radio. I recall a few episodes where one of you, I forget which, say you will never talk about it, disclosure. I don't know what that person means.
Neither do I. We talk about it all the time. It's an interesting comment. Again, I tell you, the whole John Alexander episode was basically built around the whole idea of disclosure. And, of course, his book, UFOs, Myths, Realities, and Conspiracies, I think was the name of it. That was also one of my favorite episodes, too, by the way. I found that very, very revealing.
Also, yeah. Grant Cameron episode, the presidential UFO episode.
Right.
A lot of that covered.
So I'm not sure. I don't think you've ever said that, and I don't think I have. I look at disclosure as being a pipe dream. I mean, you know, I have a sense that the government, I think, monolithically, is more confused about all this stuff than we are. So how can they disclose that they're confused and not in control? It doesn't make sense to me.
What will the population think if the government admits, hey, we have things going on around us, we have no defense against them, we can't control it? Do you want to do that to the population? You'll cause a panic in the streets. Let's move to another question, which is part two here from Hot Soup. I don't know if it's chicken or mishmash soup. Hot Soup is really mishmash soup. What that is you mix the krepluk, which is kind of like Jewish wontons, matzo balls, chicken, noodles, carrots, mishmash soup. It's great if you can find it. Anyway,
Jewish penicillin.
I'll tell you. Has the PowerCast ever thought of setting up their own loose network of paranormal researchers, taking the experiments, evidence, and trek of the UFO remaining phenomenon into your own hands? You know, personally, I don't think we have the resources for that.
Yeah, that would be nice if we did.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, if we had a benefactor, I'm serious for a moment. If we had, you know, and not a Robert Bigelow, not somebody who wants controls over the system. And I wouldn't, you know, I guess we'd be tempted if a Robert Bigelow comes to the PowerCast and says, okay, here's $1 million, do something, indulge yourself. You know, we'd have to think carefully about it. Instead, you know, we just struggle along and all that kind of thing, trying to pay the bills. But I think if somebody out there, kind of a modern-day Lawrence Rockefeller, came to us and said, here is the funding for that to cover the company's operations, setting up a network of researchers, paying them to do research, I'd love to see it happen, but the management would be a bear, wouldn't it?
Well, it'd be the human resources department that would have the real the real problems. You know, in answer to the question, that's kind of what I've been doing. I've been networking and offering my help and requesting the help of other fellow researchers and investigators for years. You know, I've pretty much met quite a number of the people that you could call field investigators out there that, you know, have published. And I think that, again, getting back to the idea of teamwork, I think it's a great idea. It would, you know, if we had the resources and we had the time to devote to a program like that, you know, I get Leslie Kane involved, for instance. She has a very similar idea.
I think she wants to do that, you know. I think she'd love to do that.
I think it would be a great idea. And I'd love to set up monitoring stations at some of the known areas of high incidence around the world, areas that tend to have more predictable activity than other areas, or even the possibility of predictive activity. I think it would be great to monitor these areas 24/7 with every tool in our toolbox. And sure, you know, gosh, man, somebody out there, Mark Zuckerberg, you know, you can name a number of these.
Paul Allen, Steve Jobs, Steve Ballmer, even. I wouldn't begrudge Microsoft.
Yeah, Bill Gates. Hey, what the heck? You know, let's get some of these fat cat guys looking not only at health issues like Bill Gates and his foundation and education, but look at it expanding human awareness about the very reality that we all co-inhabit. I think it's important. This could be, you know, potentially one of the most important issues ever facing humanity. We need to get off this planet before we get hit by an asteroid or the sun goes nova. We have an evolutionary imperative to get out and see the universe. We have to understand what is interacting with us here in this particular closed system before we ever hope to do that. So it's a kind of a walk before you run scenario in my book. And with Obama now, you know, canceling manned space flights for the foreseeable future, you know, we need to really work together as a team and get the funding to do it right.
Okay, seriously, I'm going to say this seriously. If anyone out there has the funding, knows of someone who might be able to do it, contact us, news@theparacast.com. I'm very serious about this, no joke. news@theparacast.com. If you want to help fund research, fund the activities, become an investor. You know, this is, of course, not one of those regulatory agreements that people sign, or, you know, we're not stating anything in terms of promises. This is not a public offering or anything. It's kind of an informal thing. If anyone wants to help, write us, news@theparacast.com, and let's see where it takes us. It may take us nowhere. You know, I think it's a pipe dream. Let's go on to some more questions here. From Hellfire, that's the username. Okay, totally out of left field. What's your favorite movies of all time? Let me give you mine. The Day the Earth Stood Still, the original with Michael Rennie, not the one with Keanu Reeves, which I thought was perfectly awful. The original one, I think, was a wonderful movie, which also influenced a lot of the UFO contactee claims of that era. The Silvery Suited Alien, with a message of peace, be peaceful, or suffer the consequences. Fill the UFO contactee lore from then on. The original Forbidden Planet, okay, with Leslie Nielsen before he became a comedian. The first Captain Kirk. You know, if you think of the characters in the movie Forbidden Planet, and now, you know, it's got a lot of that 50s sensibility about it. The special effects were decent, one of the few motion picture companies to put big special effects budget into a movie, kind of an A kind of movie instead of the B movies. I thought it was a great movie. Also, I think, despite all the flaws about it, the original Star Wars set a trend in terms of movies. On TV, of course, Star Trek made you want to think. Chris, what about you?
Well, I'm not really a movie buff. I'm more of a film buff. but that being said, I tend to go
explain
with
the distinction.
Movies are for mindless entertainment for a couple hours or an hour and a half. Films, in my kind of personal definition, challenge you to think about life in a new, revealing sort of way, that you're given stimulus to really ponder over what the message of the film was. And I tend to go with directors. Of course, anything that Stanley Kubrick produced is way up on my list. You know, I could start rattling off names: Clockwork Orange, 2001, Full Metal Jacket, even Eyes Wide Shut. scary as it was, frightening in not the horror film frightening way, but in a more of a psychologically frightening way. The original Manchurian Candidate, I thought, was John Frankenheimer. That film was very good. If I had to pick a favorite,
you know,
what's
interesting about that, just the this of course the not the remake, but the original film, Frank Sinatra and the late Kai Dee played this Korean psychologist who hypnotizes the Manchurian Candidate. Kai Dee also played the original Wo Fat on the original Hawaii Five-0, the arch villain. Although he was Norwegian, actually, not Oriental, although he always played Oriental roles. And his paranormal aspect, by the way, is he was a regular guest on the Long John Nepple Show.
Trivia. Well, it's definitely a up there on my list. Of course, having gone to film school, Metropolis, I think, is one of the classic silent era films, a Fritz Lang masterpiece. Jean Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast. I've just got such a long list, but if I had to boil it down to a single favorite movie in the movie sense, it would be like Raiders of the Lost Ark, maybe, or Clockwork Orange, if you want to go into the film realm. I tend to go with the either super over-the-top fun, you know, in a movie style, Saturday matinee sort of deal, or a serious message film like A Clockwork Orange, of course, from the famous Anthony Burgess novel. I think it was Anthony Burgess, right, that wrote that?
It's interesting, though, a lot of the things you see in these movies based on novels, and quite often, you know, they take those novels and distort them. Of course, I think one movie I have a lot of fun with is Total Recall. The original, there's a remake coming out with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone, based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
Right, that was very good.
We are doing our Shop Talk episode. It's the Shop Talk episode of the Paracast. I'm Gene, he's Chris O'Brien, you're in
the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24-7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.